the Gospel of Mark, which is the shortest of the Gospels and the earliest of the Gospels, begins not with the nativity scene and, you know, the shepherds and the kings and the birth, but with Jesus being baptized by John, and in particular John's call to prepare the way for the one who is to come. So we pick up after Jesus has been baptized and sent into the wilderness to be tempted with the beginning of his ministry in Galilee. Listen for God to speak to you through these words. Now, after John was arrested, Jesus came to Galilee proclaiming the good news of God and saying, "The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe in the good news." As Jesus passed along the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And Jesus said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fish for people." And immediately they left their nets and followed him. And as he went a little further, he saw James, the son of Zebedee, and his brother John, who were in their boats mending their nets. Immediately he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat and with the hired men and followed him. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Great and holy God, open our hearts to your call this day. Help us to respond in ways that show our thanksgiving and love for you. We offer this prayer in Christ's name. Amen. So last Sunday, what Jesus was inviting us to do was just come and see what he was about. This Sunday, the call that Jesus is offering us seems to go deeper than that. It's not just come and observe. It's not just kind of hang out with me for a day or two. It is an invitation, a call to follow. Now, interestingly enough, the first four folks he picks are fishermen. Now, if there's any connection between what we read last week and John and what we read today, is that these fishermen may have already met Jesus and had been observing him and maybe following him around a little bit to see what he was about. So this call to them to leave their boats and their nets may not have been their first contact with Jesus. But somehow what he's asking them is a lot more than just come see what I'm about, right? He's inviting them into the work that he is doing in the world. He's inviting all of us into that work. Now, I wondered at first a little bit about why fishermen, and I don't think it's because he can use that cute little phrase, "I will make you fishers of people." In fact, one of the scholars suggests it's not about a task, that phrase, but that phrase is more about identity. You are fish people. And if you are the fish people, then I'm thinking you're the ones who have been caught. Yes? You are the ones that Jesus is gathering in. But I think there's another reason why Jesus picked these fishermen. One, perhaps, because they had been following him about and seemed to be interested in what he had to say and where he was going. Two, fishermen are people who are used to long days. They get up early and they go to bed late. They're used to disappointment as well as, you know, blessing. They know what it is to work hard. They know about having to mend things. I think these are all reasons why fishermen may have made good disciples and why Jesus called them first. Now, it also makes me wonder, did he call other people who said no? And that these are just the first ones to say yes, and that's why we remember them? But I think there's something significant about this call to the fishermen that we need to take into account. First, this is the beginning of Jesus' ministry. And his ministry is to proclaim the kingdom that is coming near and invite the people to repent. Now, first of all, repentance is about seeking forgiveness, right? But it's also about turning toward God and orienting our life toward God. So this call is to see what Jesus is doing as the Son of God, to learn what this kingdom of God is about, and to make that the direction of your life. So Jesus is inviting them to follow him and become a part of this kingdom that is breaking into the world. Jesus inviting them to follow him and to let go of those places in their life that have called them up short, that have, created trouble in their life, but to find God in what they're doing. So first and foremost, it's an invitation, or more importantly, a call. Because a call is a little bit different from an invitation, right? An invitation we used to get in the mail, right? You got a little card that says, hope you will be there. We've discovered in the church that if you call somebody on the phone, it's a whole lot harder for them to say no, right? There's more to this call thing than just come and see. This is come and be a disciple of Christ. Come and be one who calls and proclaims the kingdom. Come and be one who orients their life with God and towards God. Now, the next thing I think that's important for us to remember about these disciples is they responded immediately. At least in Mark they did. This immediate part of Mark kind of sets the urgency for what's happening in Mark. It's a limited amount of time that Jesus is going to be with them, and they need to get about the work, right? But I think the urgency also has to do with, if we don't say yes immediately, what usually happens? We come up with all sorts of excuses about why we can't do it, right? How many times has somebody asked you to do something for the church and you say, sure, give me a little bit of time to think about this. And when you went back and thought about it, you thought, my life is too busy. I've got so many other responsibilities that I've said yes to. I have to say no to this, right? So I think the urgency with which we respond to God's call has a little bit to do with not getting caught up in the excuses about why we can't. Because we have many, don't we? I'm afraid. I'm not gifted. I don't have the time. I have all these other responsibilities. But the one that I think perhaps we don't own up to is, I don't know what God wants me to do. I'm not sure where this call will take me. If I say yes, as the disciples did, I didn't get a long list of responsibilities and possibilities and such before I jumped into this. It was just come along and we'll see what happens, right? And there was going to be danger and challenge ahead for the disciples, so maybe it was a good thing that wasn't written down for them, right? Best to just find that along the way. So I think this call, there's an urgency to it, and the urgency's for our benefit, so that we'll be a part of it and get going and not miss these opportunities when God calls us. And if you're having a little trouble with clarity about that, that's what all of these people are about. Helping you discern your call in Christ. And not just this community, but perhaps your family, perhaps other people of faith who you talk to, maybe even people outside the faith that can help you discern what your gifts are and what this thing is that God may be calling you to. In the Presbyterian Church, we call that the inner call and the outer call. The inner call is when Christ puts upon your heart to do something. The outer call is when people around you and in your community confirm that they see this in you and they see this as a direction God is calling you to. Much like this morning when we ordain and install our officers. They have felt compelled to respond to this request to be leaders in our church. And we, together this morning, confirm that for them. And hopefully, throughout the months ahead and maybe even the years ahead, you will confirm it also to say, we see that you're doing a good job. We see that God is working through you. We see how you have been responding to God's call. Okay? So, the immediacy, the urgency of this call. The other part of this call that I think you should pay attention to this morning is that it was a complete giving over to the work of God. Everything was offered up. They left everything behind to follow Jesus. Now, maybe they had in their mind that a few months down the road they'd return to being fishermen, but that was not the case, right? They gave up everything. It became the priority in their life. Now, how many for you is your Christian faith the priority? A few of you are raising your hand. The rest of you are a little unsure about it, right? Perhaps being maybe a bit more honest about it. We let a lot of other things get above how we're following Christ. Not that we're not being good Christians out there in the world, but responding to Christ's call to be part of the kingdom, building the kingdom, proclaiming the kingdom, we tend to say, there are other things I need to do first. Right? Remember those who were invited to the banquet, but they had to go take care of their cow and the field that they bought and their new bride, and they didn't get to come in? Right? But what I'm saying to you is that when you respond to this call, it will require some sacrifice. It will require you letting go of something else that you could be doing. It will require letting go of some images or, you know, sense you have about yourself, because now you're being called to be a disciple of Christ, and there's something different about that. We're being called, which is more than being invited. It's an urgent call because God has things to be done in this world and chose to use us to get them done. So I was unable to go downtown for the march yesterday, but I was catching images of it on the TV and then also on Facebook and such, and I saw a couple of people I recognized, and Mary Ellen was telling us this morning that she found some other Presbyterians down there. People who actually identified themselves as Presbyterians down there. Now, you may agree or disagree with what they were down there protesting and supporting and calling for, but what you need to remember is these are folks who gave up their Saturday, where I'm sure they had many other things they could be doing or should be doing, to go and be a part of a group of people who want to see change, positive change in the world. And perhaps even a few who were called by God to be there. This morning, we remembered Heather's good service to this church and how she felt called to give up her Sunday mornings to be here regularly, you know, to be counted upon each Sunday morning to attend to the children in our church. And I'm sure there were other things she could do, and I'm sure there were occasions where she would have rather sat in the pew in the church, but something in her compelled her, called her, engaged her into this work, right? A little bit later, we're going to hear about the wonderful ministry that Luke and Betsy are about. Something has certainly compelled you all to go to the other side of the world and bring the good news of Jesus Christ, right? This call is an urgent call. This call requires some sacrifice, some choices, some turning from maybe what we want to do to be about what God wants to do. And the good news is we don't have to do it together. Jesus called a bunch of people and continues to call people, so that each one of us can use our gifts and talents in a way that will bring the kingdom to all people. Amen?